You are what you eat.
We've all heard that saying before.
And sometimes we love what we ate and sometimes not so much.
Yeah, we're feeling pretty heavy.
So we're going to tie this to our families and our relationships.
So what are you consuming a lot of that is strengthening or weakening
your families?
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Welcome to the Simple Joyful Home Podcast. Join Emily and Alicia, two moms doing their best. This is a podcast about Come Follow Me and the Book of Mormon, and how anything you learn from the scriptures can be transformed into practical and simple solutions to strengthen your home, your relationships, and even yourself. If you're ready to triumph over self-doubt and increase the joy in your heart and in your home, join them on this inspired journey. Take it away, ladies.
Hello, this is Emily.
And this is Alicia.
We're excited you guys are here. And this is Come Follow Me for July 3rd through the 10th. And we are reading in Alma 30 through 31. Simple reading, not too much this week.
There was so much good stuff in here. But this week we are going to focus on Alma chapter 30, verses 3 and verse 8. So if we look at verse 3, it says this, "Yea, and the people did observe to keep the commandments of the Lord. And they were strict in observing the ordinances of God, according to the law of Moses, for they were taught to keep the law of Moses until it should be fulfilled." And what we loved about this verse was the word observe.
We loved that word observe. And I thought it was interesting because when you go on a little bit, it talks about the benefits they had of observing what was taught. So they had had good peace in the land, no disturbances. They listed like a few things that really these people benefited from because they observed to keep the commandments. So whatever they were consuming or whatever they were trying to do, the efforts they were making was positive.
Which led us to wonder, what does this word observe mean? And so some of the synonyms for the word observe: notice, discern, spot, detect, discover, distinguish, behold. And then we looked further, and Elder Bednar had this to say about the two primary uses of the word observe.
Yeah, so he said that it denotes to look or to see, and then the other one was to obey or to keep.
And we thought, well, you can't obey and keep without looking and seeing, or at least noticing what you're going to be trying to obey or trying to keep.
Yeah.
That word really is so helpful to us in creating positive things in our life, if we can think about it that way.
I like the word observe because it makes me stop and pause before making a decision. It makes me just take a minute and try to notice or to spot or detect something before I'm making a decision or moving forward with something.
One of the cool things about observing is that our brains are really wired to observe and learn through observation. We have these cool little things in our brain called mirror neurons, and you've probably heard of them before, and they're responsible for any action that we learn through observing other people. So here's how that works. When you see someone performing a certain action, then the little mirror neurons will create a mental image of you doing the same thing, like you performing the same action. But it's not just about actions. That system works with our emotions. Like when we see other person crying, ladies, can you see someone cry and not cry? I can't.
Sympathetic crier.
It's true.
It's a real thing.
It's so true.
You're not weird. It's actually just part of your brain.
It's so true. Have you noticed that when you are sitting across from someone and they cross their legs, you cross your legs? Have you ever noticed you do that? Or someone will touch their face and you'll touch your face.
Or sneeze.
Yeah. So little things like that.
Interesting.
That is our brain. Our brain is just wired to learn by observation. Another thing, cool thing about observation is that really we're not being acted upon. We're actually able to act by observing something and then really choosing to do it. I mean, if we're aware of it, we can choose not to cross our legs when the other person does, right?
Right.
Or touch our face. And so it's really kind of a cool thing. Our brain is already wired to look and to see and to notice and then to obey and to keep. Kind of like what this definition, it talks about the Elder Bednar gives us.
Well, and so I think this is really interesting because you're saying that we are really pre-wired to learn through observance, and it just comes like really natural. So, but I also think there's another way that we observe and it kind of hinders us. And I think it's through judgment.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And really, don't you think that's Satan's way of using observation?
Oh, yeah.
To get us down a path that is not going to help us progress. I mean, we can look at something and we can learn from it, or we can look at something and we can judge it. And that judgment often leads to comparison. And we often view comparison as a bad thing. But really, it is a vital tool to learning. If you've ever thought about how you learn about most things, if you're learning a new skill, you really are comparing, Kate, here's what I did and here's what I still need to do. Here's how she did her hair, but I can't quite figure out this one little part. Like, how is she doing that?
Yeah,
it really is through
like observing and learning.
Observing and then comparing what you know to what you need to know. And Satan can twist any of those things.
So the saying of comparison is a thief of joy is more the root of Satan.
It's true. I think that comparison is the root of learning. And if we let it be the root of judgment, it is the thief of joy.
Oh, for sure.
But I think if we use it in the right way, it becomes a catalyst for joy, really.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it just happens. Sometimes we're just given like a small little glimpse. And I had this story happen like just this morning. I guess this just shows an example of how easy it is to observe something without like all the information and
judge instead of learn.
Yeah. And judge instead of learn. I had gotten up in the morning to go exercise and I got everything ready, went out to the garage and I opened the garage and my van is gone because, oh, the van is in the shop and needs to be worked. So I'm like, oh man, how am I going to get to my exercise place? Like, well, I'll just ride my bike. It's just a few blocks around. So, and it just happened to be kind of cloudy and drizzly this morning and it was fine. It's just a couple blocks. So I get in there, I do my workout with my friends and it is pouring rain by the time we were done. And luckily my friend had a bike rack on the back of her car. So she's like, let's just load you up. I'm like, perfect. This will keep me from freezing and getting drenched. So we pull up and we get into my driveway. We're unloading, getting the bike. And a nice gentleman who's in our neighborhood was walking by and he's like, didn't realize it was going to rain, did ya? And I was like, I could go into a lot of detail about how that wasn't the case, but yeah, I just said, yeah, yep, that's right. I just let it go. But it had everything to do with, I just didn't have a vehicle. Not that it was raining.
You already knew it was raining.
Yeah, I already knew it was raining. I just didn't have a vehicle to do it. But it made me realize how simple observance can happen, how fast it can, and how like he just didn't have all the information. It wasn't a bad thing, but it widened my mind to think, how often do I do that? How often do I like make this tiny little observation and think I have the biggest picture and I am way off.
Observations lead to how we view the world. Like you were saying, that tiny observation led to how he viewed you and your world.
Yeah. And my situation and my decision-making.
Right. And how we can use that to our benefit, that power of observation and how powerful it can be in creating the life and the connections with other people that we want to have, especially with our family and, you know, our close friends.
Because really observing is a way of consuming information and we can consume a lot of it and it can be good or it can be bad. We need to put our focus on the things that we want to observe that's helping us and learning and all of that.
And this leads us to the story and the characters in these chapters, Alma and Korihor. So Alma, we've read about him before. He's a great prophet. He's a great teacher. And he has a strong testimony of Christ and of God and of the plan and why he's here. In chapter 30, verse 44, he says this. He says, "The scriptures are laid before thee, yea, and all things denote there is a God. Yea, even the earth and all things that are upon the face of it. yea, and its motion, yea, and also all the planets which move in their regular form do witness that there is a supreme creator. In his mind, this is so obvious. He's like, look at all these little things that testify of God. And then you have Korihor, and he is there teaching the people that you can't prove there's a God. So you can think there is one, but you can't prove there's a God. Basically, he's questioning them. He won't tell them that there's not a God. He will just say, you've never seen him. How do you know? Right? Have you ever had people say that to you? Yeah. How do you know? So he goes into questioning them. And later he keeps asking for a sign over and over and over and over again. And you wonder, how do two people who have been taught the exact same thing, Alma and Korihor, they've both been taught, they both have the scriptures. How did they get to a place where they believed something so different, where their lives were taking them in such a different direction?
Oh, yeah.
They had the same foundational information, but one was going in a completely opposite direction than the other. And Korihor even says in chapter 30, verses 52 and 53, he says this.
In verse 52, right towards the end, yea, and I always knew that there was a God. But behold, the devil hath deceived me, for he appeared unto me in the form of an angel and said unto me, go and reclaim this people, for they are all gone astray after an unknown God. And he said unto me, there is no God, yea, and he taught me that which I should say. And I have taught his words, and I have taught them because they were pleasing unto the carnal mind. And I taught them even until I had much success, insomuch that I verily believed that they were true. And for this cause, I withstood the truth, even until I was brought this great curse upon me.
And at this point, Korihor has been struck dumb, and he...
Well, that's what his sign was, right?
Yeah, that was his sign. And so, I mean, really, they both knew there was a God. One just chose to testify of God, and the other chose to try and lead people away from him. Think, yeah. How does that happen in our life, in our families, in our own life?
Yeah, well, it sounds like that he spent a lot of time observing what Satan was teaching him and very little about what he was already taught before.
It's true. So one of the keys of what changes the outcome for us is where we spend our time observing and knowing what to observe. Alma spent his time looking at all the positive things and the great things that God had created and seeing him as a supreme creator. And Korihor spent his time with the devil learning basically how to deceive the people and just listening to the same things over and over and over again until finally he was convinced that it was okay for him to lead people away, even though he knew, I always knew there was a God.
Yeah. You know, I had a coworker. I was on working on campus at USU, and she was a big believer in God, but she was not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she couldn't get over the fact, like, how I could believe in this church. And she says, you got to know all your facts. You got to go and know both sides to really make a decision. How can you just only focus on, say, the Book of Mormon and not go read, you know, maybe some anti-literature without making like a decision? And I remember that totally stumped me, because I was like, well, I mean, logically, I guess that makes sense. Anything. So say you just took this question and asked yourself with anything, if you're going to make a decision, you kind of need to look at both sides. I'm a pro at making pros and cons lists, right? Mm-hmm. So what is it about her question that completely stumped me on where I should spend and consume my time, right? So I thought about this, and I thought, if I just stripped all the words and everything out of it, say I just went by observation of feelings or the fruits of whatever those two things lead to. I know that if I study this Book of Mormon and I study what I love and I see the good things it's brought into my life, I want to spend more time with that. This other stuff makes me feel just icky, and it seems to lead people to this or to that. And I just, like, I don't need to go all into this in-depth process to make a decision. I can look at this quickly and know this isn't going to give me happiness and this is. So if we're thinking about this in a way that is going to lead us to good things down the road, so say even in our relationships, if we are having this, we're trying to make a decision focus on something that brings you light and happiness. You focus on this dark, that's the type of product you're going to get, is something that's dark, something that's frustrating, something that leads to just doubt and fear. Then that's where you, is that where you want to focus? And so really, that if we took things just plain and made them simple and really went by the fruit, or the, I say the fruit, but the product of those things and just how they make us feel, that's how we can make simple decisions.
And the Spirit will speak of truth, right? I mean, He will testify of truth always. And truth can be found in a lot of places. I feel like most religions have truth in them. And when I visited another church in the past and gone to their services with a friend, I have felt the Spirit there. I have felt it testify of truth there. And that, it is a powerful thing, and it will not leave you when you are with truth.
Yeah. And that's when you can recognize it. That's when you can recognize that and say, I want more of this, this truth, but then learn that feeling when the truth leaves.
Yes. Yes. Because sometimes it's more prominent when it leaves, and we recognize it quicker when it leaves than the comfort we feel when it's with us all the time. So that's a good point. And Elder Bednar has given a quote that goes right along with this. He says, the spiritual gift of being quick to observe is so vital for us in the world in which we do now and will yet live. Simply stated, being quick to observe is an antecedent to and is linked with the spiritual gift of discernment. And for you and for me, discernment is a light of protection and direction in a world that grows increasingly dark.
I really, really believe that we are all given this pure gift of discernment to know right for wrong, so that we can then make great decisions of what to observe and what to consume. We have that spiritual gift. We have that gift so that we can consume the right things.
Okay, so as we looked at this, we wanted to give you a tool to use in your family and in your own life. And in Alma, as we're learning about their the people observing the commandments and observing the ordinances of God, that they were consuming good things. So that consumption led to the feelings that were good. It's that whole you are what you eat thing, right?
Yeah.
And then we see the fruits of that labor. So then after they're the consumption of the commandments and the ordinances of God, then they were creating that action. Those actions were creating continual peace. It says in the scriptures, there were no disturbances and there was continual peace. I don't know about you, but I could use a little of that in creation in my life.
2020, more peace.
Right, more peace. And then the very next step in verse 8, they talked about in Alma chapter 30, verse 8, it says,
for thus saith the scripture, choose ye this day whom ye will serve.
And so in the end, they were connecting with God. They were choosing to serve God. They had a desire to serve Him, and they felt like it was a privilege to serve Him. And so as we look at our own lives, we wanted to give you these three C's. What are you consuming? What are you creating? And who are you connecting with? Because whatever we're consuming, at whatever rate, it's directly impacting what we're creating in our life. And then whatever we're creating is directly influencing who we're connecting with our life. And that's not just God. I mean, God is the one that we need to be focused on, is are we connecting with Him? Yes. But it's also with who we're connecting with in our sphere of influence, right? I mean, who are we connecting with in our home? And how are we doing it? Are we doing it in a positive way or negative way? And who are we connecting with in the people that influence our home? I mean, it's like having a child in soccer and tournaments, right? Like you're constantly going to soccer. So then you're creating a life that is filled with those types of activities and, you know, moves away from this and towards this. And that's what you're creating in your home life. And then you're connecting with your soccer families, your soccer moms, your soccer friends. And that becomes the sphere of influence that's impacting your home. And that could be baseball, or that could be music, or that could be anything, right? That's just an example. But as you look at your life, if you see something that you feel like is lacking, like, I feel like I'm not quite connecting enough with the spirit. I just feel a little bit alone or not.
Yeah, just off.
Yeah, just off. Then we can take a look at, what am I consuming and what am I creating? Because when we feel that lack of a desire to create, it usually comes from, or we don't like what we're creating, it usually comes from what we're consuming. And so I think it's just a really powerful tool.
I even think that happens in our atmosphere at home. So I have, you know, goals I've set that if I follow these things in the morning, then it leads to a successful day. Usually I'm better at staying up on my house. It's cleaner. My kids have a better structure. But if something gets off with that and I just decide to not focus on what leads to those things being successful, and I focus on, say, I don't know, let's just have a movie day, or we do something like casual, or I'm spending more time on my phone doing something else, and I miss those things, then everything just starts like falling apart. And then over a few days, in fact, if I looked at this week versus last week, I'm like, whoa, what happened? Because I was way more productive over here and not very productive in the things that are successful for my family here. So then I just reevaluate, what am I consuming? Right? Okay. I can probably name what I'm consuming. And I don't know if I'm going to tell you guys. It may involve cookies and it may involve some Netflix. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I actually don't have Netflix because it's not good for me. Anyway. But I do feel like that's something that can be applied to just our atmosphere too. What is working and what isn't, and being not afraid to change what you're consuming.
Emily brings up a good point. Like this whole idea of consumption, I mean, she talks about not being afraid to switch what you're consuming. And there's some other ideas we can give you that we hope will help with the consumption also. So your consumption really starts with your observation, right? It begins with what you're noticing, what you're spotting. Like when you scroll through social media, I guarantee you're not looking at everything, right? No, you scroll, 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 spot. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Scroll, 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 spot. Oh, that's interesting. Scroll, scroll, scroll. Oh, I just discovered something I never knew about that person, right? These are the types of things we do when we're going through life too, not just social media. So as you go through and are observing, and which leads to that consumption, it just, you can't observe without taking it in, right?
Yeah.
So as you go throughout and you're observing, there's a couple of tools that you can use to help you if you don't like what you're consuming. So like Emily said, you can choose to get rid of something and choose something different, like that whole exchange, which is the exchange will always be easier than the like just gets rid of something altogether, because your brain almost needs something to fill that gap, right?
Yeah.
And so if you can exchange it, it is so helpful. At least it has been for me. And there's science on it, but I don't have it here. So and then another cool thing is if you want to learn something new, or you feel like, you know what, I want to feel more of this in my life. I want to feel the spirit more in my life, or I want to have a better relationship with a child or whatever it might be, then you can look for a model. Look for someone who is living that life. The fruits of their labor are something that speaks to your heart. The spirit speaks truth that, you know what, this is something that my life could benefit from, and learn from them, observe their life, ask questions. Because really it's always easier to model someone that you kind of identify with, someone that you see yourself in a little bit.
Oh yeah.
So find those people that you admire and that you kind of see yourself, you know, I might be able to do that. And I really admire them.
And stop observing people that you aren't relating to and are causing negativity.
Yes. Yes. And then the last tool that we're going to give you is the attention that you give to something. So if you are wanting more of the spiritual in your life, or if you're wanting stronger relationships with your spouse or your kids, attention does not equal time always. I mean, I spend
Oh, I spend all
12 hours with them, my littles that I love. But I mean, how much attention, like direct attention with intention, am I spending? And that is true with scriptures. That is true with social media, like positive and negative.
Yeah.
It's true in our relationships, the time we dedicate there. So how much attention are you giving with intention?
Yep.
And
also, well, the more attention you put on something, the more it can lead to the actions, right? Mm-hmm. So here's my story about this. It's real. I was in social media, spending a little too much time there. No judgment. Remember, we talked about that. Anyway, and I came across this really funny video with how all these people are tripping and falling. And I was laughing at them because it was funny. And so then I got done watching that and I jump up and I'm like, I need a cookie. And I just went running into the, I literally was running.
I love that you're running for a cookie.
I was trying to be funny for the kids. That's what I'm telling them. Anyway, but I get up and I run and I literally run into my closet door. And I was in so much pain with my hand. I was heaving over and I kept thinking, I just watched all these videos of people falling and running into things. And I get up and I just do it. Man, they need to put a disclaimer on those things. This could happen. The more you consume of these things, the more chances you are to fall or run into something. The moral of this story is be careful what you consume and what you observe. It may backfire.
I need to say what Emily's telling us is the moral of this story is, or what you consume leads to what you create, which leads to, well, we were saying who, but in her case, what you connect with.
Oh my gosh. Amen. Learn from my mistake.
With that beautiful example of just how impactful on a small scale and a large scale. So Emily teaches us how it can happen just in the small things we're consuming, how they add up to actual, talk about mirror neurons, to actual events that happen in our lives. And then we learn from Korihor and Alma how it can happen on a very important, critical level of our spiritual connection with God and our salvation.
So even with the words we're consuming or speaking, say we're even speaking lots about something, it becomes real to us. So Are we talking negatively? Are we doing positive things? It's all about the power of suggestion. I think it really works with what we're observing as well.
We learn, even when we're reading our books, right? We're observing, we're consuming. And so it really makes such a big impact on our life. And we want to leave you with this scripture. It's in Alma 31, verse 34 and 35. And as you go throughout your week and you're considering what you're consuming, what you're creating, how you're creating, and who you're connecting with, whether that's in your family or the people that influence your family, or whether it's your relationship with God, we want to leave you with this. O Lord, wilt thou grant unto us that we may have success in bringing them again unto thee in Christ. Behold, O Lord, their souls are precious, and many of them are our brethren. Therefore, give unto them, O Lord, power and wisdom. And we just want to leave you with that prayer. We hope that you find success and that you feel that you have the power and the wisdom to make the decisions that will bring your family and you closer to Christ. And we know that as you strive to consume and create and connect with things that bring you closer to Christ, that you will see that observation really is
the key to where you start.
Yeah. And that it is the key to where you end as well. Because the definition is so comprehensive, it really is where you start is what you're looking at, what you're seeing, what you're noticing, and where you're ending is you're obeying and you're keeping, which is connecting you with Christ. It's really that consumption, that creation, that connection is all wrapped up when you observe. And we hope that as you focus on those things, it will help you come closer to Christ and you will feel that spirit throughout the week.
And closer to each other.
Yes.
Love it. Okay, see you guys later.
Later. Hey friends, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate you spending time with us so much. We know that that's valuable. So thank you for being with us. We wanted to also let you know that we are putting little things on social media. So if you are feeling like you need a little lift or a little sunshine in your week, come follow us at Simple Joyful Home on Instagram and Facebook. And hopefully we can add a little light to your life.
And if you're new here, we also wanted to let you know that if you go into your favorite place to listen to podcasts, we post every Monday and you can get that notification of when we have one so you remember to listen. Just a little tip to save you a little time.
And we want to throw a shout out to those outside the U.S. We leave you guys out a little bit. So we wanted to tell you thank you for listening. Mexico, San Marino, Italy, Australia, Canada, just to name a few. We sure appreciate you.
Man, they're so cool.
It's true. One day we can see you again. All right. Have a great Bye. Week. Bye.
Because the Lord backs up.
I don't. Right. I know.
Yes, I just farted in the microphone. Not literally.
She did a mouth fart.
We got to clear that up right now.
Oh my goodness gracious. Okay.
I'm sorry. I have been on one all day today.
Well, you ran into a wall. You watched funny things. That made you funny. Okay.
I had way too much sugar.
That's true. You were running for a cookie.
It was like 10 in the morning. Oh, I have a cookie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, heaven help me.